It's 5 and 10 from Skywatch TV, a special program today as we have guests in studio preparing for a series of broadcasts about several new books, one of which will be the topic of this conversation today. First of all, co-author of the book, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah, the founder of Messiah of Israel Ministries, Rabbi Zev Perot.
Great to be here again.
Welcome. And the author of the forthcoming book, Gods of the Final Kingdom, the best-selling author of Gods of Ground Zero, Gods and Thrones, and many other books. We welcome Pastor Carl Gallops back to Skywatch TV.
Thank you, Derek. Welcome. It's good to be here.
Gods of the Final Kingdom.
Yeah.
If we assume that the Final Kingdom is the one ushered in by Messiah, then how can there be multiple gods there? What is the book about? How do you reconcile those?
Well, thank you. Yeah, first let me just say it's connected to my whole Gods series, you know, and Gods would be with little g. But the first book I wrote was on this whole sweeping panoramic biblical theological topic is Gods and Thrones. And then the second one was Gods of Ground Zero. This one is Gods of the Final Kingdom. Each of the books were written so that you can read them in any order. They stand on their own. Yet I tell people, if you'll read all three of them, you'll have this huge, sweeping, deep theological understanding of the Word of God, what the true message is, where it heads from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, and how it's all connected from the Garden of Eden to the last days, the restitution of all things. So, but God's is of the Final Kingdom is kind of is the last book of that trilogy. And what this does is I loved writing this. But everybody asked me, "What's your favorite book you've ever written?" I said, "It's the one I just did." And, I mean, truly, because I just get so wrapped up in these things and the study, and I learn so much too, especially when I start digging into what the scholars have said about this stuff, and I go, oh my gosh, I didn't know so many people saw what I saw. And so, but this book, Gods of the Final Kingdom, the basic premise of it is, yes, gods, little g, just speaks of the spiritual battle. Gods, that translates in Hebrew, the B'nai Elohim, the angelic realm, of the obedient angels, the disobedient ones that follow after Satan, and so that's where this term gods comes from. So when I speak of gods of the final kingdom, then what I'm speaking of is this battle for the earth, for the planet. Of course, Jesus has already won the whole preemptive strike. He wins the whole thing. We know that. The Lord God Yahweh in the person of Jesus Christ will once again have his kingdom as it was from the beginning. That's what we're told to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
And I'm going to add these words because this is what it means. As it is in heaven and as it was from the beginning. See, that's what's getting ready to happen under the blood and the victory of Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, Satan truly believes still in all of his arrogance. And the Bible tells us this in the book of Revelation. He truly believes in all of his arrogance. He still owns this. He believes he has taken it or gotten it by legal means. And it's his. And this is a battle to the death for him. The book of Revelation tells the earth, woe unto the earth, because Satan has been thrown down. But the problem is he is filled with rage because he's figuring out that his time is short. If he doesn't do something, he's got to pull something off. And I'm paraphrasing, but then it says, so he goes out to attack what? The woman and the seed of the woman. The seed, those who hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, the woman's Israel, and Israel, the spiritual Israel, is Jew and Gentile under the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, the one new man, the true temple being built up. The seed of Jesus, the church. You know, so Israel and the church, so a returned Israel, geographical Israel, God's sign to the nation, the church preaching the gospel, Jews and Gentile under the blood of Jesus, the book we wrote prior to this, The Rabbi's Secret Message, it all ties in because now Jews are coming to Christ just as the Bible said it would happen. So the point is Satan sees all of this. He understands it and he knows it. He doesn't know exactly how it's all going to culminate, but in his arrogance, as Isaiah 14 says, he declares, I will ascend to the throne of the Most High God. I will be the God of gods, little g. So this is a cosmic battle. Now, what I do with this book, rather than trying to get too deep and, you know, professorial, and I don't do it that way. It starts, well, with an angelic encounter I had that was real and witnessed. There's this account of that that shows that there are dimensions. And the angelic dimension is very close to ours and interacts with us. The Word of God says that. And it hasn't. We haven't always been separated. once we were together in the garden, in fellowship. And so that will be restored. And then it moves from there to a narrative of, it takes you to the Garden of Eden. It puts you right there. You get to hear Adam and Eve and Satan in this conversation, and you get to hear it as though you're right there. And of course, I take a little, you know, it's kind of like historical fiction. I take a little liberty, but I say some things in that narrative that might be quite shocking to the reader at first, like, the Bible doesn't say that, but it's footnoted. And if you go to the back, you'll see all of the scholars that saw the same thing, and they connect the scriptures, and they say, this is probably what happened there. So I go through, I tell the story all the way through. First 8 or 10 chapters, I bring you right up to when God puts on flesh. He comes into creation. He goes to the Jordan River. He's baptized. He goes to the wilderness of temptation, where the Bible says the second Adam is now coming back to be tempted. Hmm. And the scholars say it, and I've got it all footnoted. And then it moves into now. Then the next chapter starts the teaching. And I keep it very conversational, and I say the very first words are something like, so what was it that Satan knew, and what was it he didn't know about Jesus? And we go from there and unwrap all of these theological mysteries, questions that people ask about the incarnation. Why did Satan think by putting Jesus on the cross he was going to gain any advantage? All of that is answered and much more, and the last chapters end back to a narrative with John the Baptist taking his final breath after what he's been through, Jesus on the cross, things that he says and how that ties in. Well, I take you to the Garden of Gethsemane, and you hear Jesus talking to his disciples. You hear Satan showing up and what he says and the scholars and what they say about it. So I think it's a very easy-to-read book. By the time you're finished, you'll feel like you've read a novel, yet with teaching sandwiched in it. And when you finish, you will say, as my pre-readers have said, now I understand the Word of God. Now I get it. Now I get it. So I pray everybody will have that experience. I really enjoyed writing it and researching it. That's why it's called Gods of the Final Kingdom, because the final kingdom is coming under Jesus. And on that day, Satan will be the Lord of nothing.
Amen. Amen.
Let me ask you this, because I'm curious, on from a Hebrew perspective, the phrase sons of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are some who are skeptical about the interpretation of Genesis 6 verses 1 through 4, meaning what it says, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were fair and took wives, etc. And they will point to the use of the term sons of God in the New Testament and the fact that it doesn't refer to spirit beings there to change the meaning, I think, of the Old Testament. How does that the difference in the understanding of that phrase, sons of God, from the Old Testament to the New, differ, and what's the significance?
Well, it depends on how you're looking at it. If you're looking at it through the eyes of somebody that has the Holy Spirit, somebody that's a believer in Jesus, there is a difference. If you're just looking at the Word and you don't understand the context, there's no difference. It just says, Bnei Elohim. We understand that in Genesis 6, there's something corrupt over there, and we understand that the Bnei Elohim in the New Testament and other places are speaking about the sons of God, which is us, the ones that are under the blood of Yeshua, Jesus. So once again, this is a perfect example of Hebrew is important. But if you don't have revelation through the Holy Spirit, even in the Hebrew, you can't see the difference. And I think Carl gets into it in the book in depth.
I do. And that's an excellent question. Thank you for asking it, because I do deal with it in that book and in my other God's books. And that is this. For example, in John chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and by Him all things were created, et cetera, et cetera. And then it comes on down, and it says, and to those who believed upon Him, to them He gave the right to be called. And if it was written in Hebrew, it would say, B'nai Elohim, the sons of God.
Right.
Now, some of the modern translations, they don't understand this connection. They're trying to say, well, let's change that to children of God or the sons and daughters. Well, that's a correct translation in that B'nai means children, but when it's translated sons, see, there's only 5 or 6 times in the Old Testament where that exact phrase is used, B'nai Elohim. Now, there are variations upon that, but the exact phrase, and every time, even the modern translators, except for Genesis 6, every time they translate it, the angels of God.
Right.
Angels, the divine beings of the divine council. But Genesis 6, they don't want to mess with that. So they just leave it in its literal form. The sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they let the preachers interpret it or whatever, because it's so controversial. But when you come to the New Testament, what people don't understand is That's what we were called in the garden. That's what humanity was called. In fact, Ephesians 3 says that the family in heaven and the family on earth both derive their name from the same Father. What's our name? B'nai Elohim. What does Peter say in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, about the last days, at the restitution of all things? He says, and in that day, our divine nature will be restored. What divine nature? Does that mean we become gods? No, it means we'll be like Adam and Eve. We will be called the sons of God, along with the angels. One family under one head. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. The mystery of God has been revealed to us. He is bringing all things in heaven together with all things on earth under one head, Jesus Christ. So when you read the term sons of God in the New Testament, you say, that just means humans. Well, yes, but it means blood-bought, spirit-filled, born-again, divine nature-restored humans as Adam and Eve were at the restitution of all things. We will join with our heavenly family, and we will all be one again in fellowship with our Creator.
Something that Jews who don't believe in Yeshua can't see.
They can't conceive of.
Because everything he just spoke about right now is for believers. When you're looking at it just in Hebrew, without the blood of the Lamb, you don't see it.
Yep.
Mm. We're destined basically to be restored.
Absolutely.
To our rightful place.
Like in the final kingdom.
Like the prodigal son returning home.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I'm thinking also as you're speaking, Pastor Carl, about the final kingdom, and I'm thinking about the first kingdom when Adam was there in the beginning, when it says that in the Bible that God drove Adam out of the kingdom. In Hebrew, it says, "Who garashed Adam out of the kingdom?" He divorced Adam.
Hmm.
So basically, he divorced Adam out of the kingdom. Through the blood of Jesus, we get betrothed to him, and then in the final kingdom, we get married.
In the marriage supper of
the Lamb. In the marriage supper of the Lamb. We see the garash, and we see it right there.
And that's Satan wonderful. Will be God of nothing.
Absolutely. Gods of the Final Kingdom, Pastor Carl Gallups. The book is forthcoming from Defender Publishing. Carl Gallups, Zev Perot, thank you for being
thank
with
you.
Us today.
Thank you.
And thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV.
For thousands of years, the world has heard warning that there is a coming day when the man of sin, the Antichrist, will arise to pilot the greatest deception in human history. Prepare yourself now for what is ahead with the coming Third Temple Collection. This incredible assortment features Dr. Thomas Horn's new book, The Rabbis, Donald Trump, and the Top Secret Plan to Build the Third Temple, where you'll learn why many believe President Trump is a King Cyrus-like figure guided by Hashem, God himself. The connection between Donald Trump, rabbis, and a behind-the-scenes scheme to erect the Third Temple, and how this, as the book of Daniel prophesied, will be the catalyst that precedes the apocalypse and arrival of Antichrist. All this and so much more. This unbelievable collection also includes best-selling author Carl Gallup's brand new book, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah, which reveals how Israel's most venerated Orthodox rabbi, Yitzhak Kaduri, came face to face with the true Messiah and said that it was Jesus Christ. You may know that much of the story, but now you can learn what's happened since. Discover the secrets, witness tampering, intimidation tactics, global media, and powerful personalities who will stop at nothing, including death threats and even ritualistic curses to cover up this new stunning revelation. But we're just getting started. The coming Third Temple collection also includes Shelley Neese's new book, The Copper Scroll Project, that highlights the decades-long quest to uncover Qumran's greatest secrets, the lost treasures of the Jerusalem Temple. Hold on to your hats as you'll also discover how the Dead Sea Scrolls were merely the tip of the archaeological iceberg as Jim Barfield's Copper Scroll Project tethers to Israel's modern battle for the Temple Mount, and how the secrets contained in the Copper Scroll, the most enigmatic of the Dead Sea Scrolls, might hold the key to one of the greatest treasures in Israel's history. But that's not all. You'll also receive the best of the first annual Blessed Hope Prophecy Conference on DVD. This two-disc DVD collection is jam-packed with over 11 hours of mind-boggling revelations from presenters like Dr. Thomas Horn on deep state saboteurs and the secret destiny of America, Sharon Gilbert on the return of the ancients through pharmakia, necromancy, and virtual reality, Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis on the inside war against President Trump by elite secret societies, and unforgettable presentations from celebrated theologian Dr. Michael Lake. Derek P. Gilbert, Josh Peck, and more. Also included in this amazing collection, the original four-week investigative Skywatch television series regarding the coming Third Temple on DVD, featuring Carl Gallops, Shelley Neese, and Dr. Thomas Horn. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of $180. Yours now for your donation of only $30 plus shipping and handling. Now's your chance to save big. The coming Third Temple collection, available now at Skywatch TV Store. Order online or call 844-750-4985.